Good morning, church. We're at Luke 2:22. Yeah, 2:22. How about Luke 22? Let's try that one. Luke chapter 22. Good to see each of you here, and it's good to be here after missing a couple Sundays here with spending time at our house with Lena and Summer, and now Joanne isn't feeling well, Summer and Lena left for Michigan on Friday. They flew back. The plan was last Sunday I was going to drive her out. Well, then she started saying she wasn't feeling good, so that changed things. So instead of being with us a week, she was about a month with us. So, yeah, it was different. But we were glad for those times. And I got to have time with Summer Rose. At times, I wanted to be there with her, and sometimes Mama wanted me to take care of her so she could do something else. So, yes, here we are at Luke chapter 22. This chapter has 71 verses. So if we take 1 minute per verse, we'll be okay, right? I don't think so. I don't think we'll do that. No. Luke 22 is a chapter that has a lot of interesting detail to it, and only that comes through because Luke is the one that's writing it. And when you compare the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the harmony of the Gospels, how they agree in things, it's interesting to see what one says and what the other one says and how it blends together and pulls it all together. Well, here we are. The Last Supper is one of the things that's in this chapter. The Last Supper, spending time together with his disciples. Jesus was desiring that time together. For us as families, we cherish the times that we can spend with our families. That is not the case in some family settings. But the Last Supper, do this in remembrance of me. He desired before his sufferings begin. We also have the betrayal in this chapter. There's one here among us that's going to betray me. What does that send through your head when you hear something like that being said? What takes place? It's the one who I give the sop. The betrayal took place for money. Then we go into the denial. Jesus predicts that somebody's going to be denying him. Yep, he's going to be denied. You shall never wash my feet. But then there's hope. There's hope because of forgiveness. Strength to go forth and to lead because of repentance. Because of repentance, we see the increase of faith here in service. And the person that we're going to look at this morning will be from the verses in Luke 22, 31 through 38. Where we're going to be focusing more on Peter today and interjecting some of the other characters from this chapter. So somebody has Luke 22, 31 to 38, please.
And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed, Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail, and when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. But he said to him, Lord, I am ready to go with you, both to prison and to death. Then he said, I tell you, Peter, the rooster shall not crow this day before you will deny me three times that you know me. And he said to them, when I sent you without money bag, knapsack, and sandals, did you lack anything? They said, nothing. Then he said to them, but now he who has a money bag, let him take it, and likewise a knapsack, and he who has no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. For I say to you, that which is written must still be accomplished in me. And he was numbered with the transgressors, for the things concerning me have an end. So they said, Lord, look, here are two swords. He said, it is enough.
Thank you, Megan. Thank you. So, Peter has quite the character quality traits in his life. Some are things that we need to look at and to emulate. Some of them we should lay aside. Probably most of the ones we're going to talk about today, we all have participated in and need to be careful how we live. First of all, we see that Peter was outspoken. Peter was excitable. He was headstrong. He was all in or nothing. He was impetuous. Any of you have any of those characteristics? He was headstrong. He was speaking before thinking. He told Jesus what to do. You're not going to wash my feet. Oh. Have we ever been in those spots? Have we ever said, Lord, I'll do this for you? Or some people who have said, I'll go to the mission field for you, but don't send me to this place. And after God works in the heart of people, and in my heart, and maybe in your heart at times, what happens? The heart changes, and you end up going there, to that place you said you weren't going to go to. He stepped out of his proper place. He was weak in the flesh. Peter had a strong spirit, and he was committed to Christ. At times, his weak flesh would take over. Then what would Jesus call him? He would call him Simon. Simon. What do we do with our families? What do we do with our children? What did our parents do to me? There were some times I was called Glenn Ray Martin. Then you knew that mom was at the last end of her straw, on her last nerve, and it was time to listen. Because some of you know, as children sitting here, and as all have been children, you knew where mom and dad's level of breaking point was. And you knew when that time came. So the parents sometimes call their children full names. At times what he did, he later regretted. He was inconsistent. As Peter grew in the Lord, he was inconsistent, but he would have great success, but he'd also have failures. He had success and failures. He started walking on the water. Remember that? He was in the boat, and he said to Jesus, "Can I come to you?" "Sure." And he started walking on the water. But then what happened? He looked around. He looked around and he started to sink. And God and Jesus reached out and kept him. Jesus, Peter declared his allegiance to Christ. I'll do anything. I'll die with you. I'll go to jail with you. And then he denies him three times. Can you and I identify with any of that in our lives? Think about it. He brought the gospel to the Gentiles, but later he would not eat with them. He was hasty and did not think through things. Strengths that he had many strengths. He was excited, he was committed. He put God first. He was repentant. Think about it. He was repentant. He persevered until the end of his life. He was excited. Peter was excited about his relationship. He was excited to be able to learn from Jesus, to witness firsthand what he did. Think about it. Peter had the opportunity to be at the crucifixion, at the empty tomb. And when he went to the tomb, they were traveling with somebody else, and somebody stayed outside, but Peter, he had to go in. He had to see what's going on. And there's some of us here in this room in life are like Peter. We have to go inside the whole way and see for sure. Some of us will stay outside and observe from a distance. Think about that. John was the one that just stuck his head to the door. Question for you. Are you excited about your relationship with Christ these days? Are you excited about it? With this COVID thing, it's not always easy to be excited about things because your energy level is way down. But we see Peter had a commitment. Yes, Peter was committed, but he had fallen at times. He even gave up his career, that of fishing. But what did Jesus say? I will make you fishers of men. And think about the quality and characteristics that it takes to be a fisherman for fish in the water. Knowing the right kind of baits, knowing the right kind of lines, knowing what the line should be like, what the rod should be like. And I'm going to go with a pastor friend of mine. He is quite the fisherman. He can catch. We go together deep sea fishing, and he was catching fish, and I was catching nothing. And just recently I was out fishing again, and they weren't biting hard. So I didn't hardly feel them. They were just eating the bait off of me. And out of three guys there, one guy was catching most of the fish. So there's a knack to it. There's an understanding. So when we are talking to people, when you're talking to people this week, when you meet somebody, what is the bait? What lines do you need? What do you need to say? Yes, Peter went into full-time Christian work. Many times today, believers want to separate their spiritual life from their real daily life. They think that this is our Sunday service, so this is where the action is. But when we leave the doors, we don't take it with you. But there's a song that says, take the name of Jesus with you. Take the name of Jesus with you wherever you go. Yes, and that's so important for us to learn. I believe that, well, I did just share that. Peter wanted all his life to be affected by Jesus in John 13:9. He wanted to be salt and light for Jesus. He wanted to be salt and light. He wanted to put God first. Peter risked his life and put Jesus first most of his life. He was repentant. He was repentant. When Peter sinned by denying Christ, he later did repent. And Jesus predicted that there would be a time when he would deny, because Satan wanted to sift Peter. Satan wanted to sift Peter. Now, I don't see my wife use a flour sifter like my mom did. My mom had this metal thing. People like to buy them now for show pieces to set around. And you put the flour in there, and we children would love to turn that crank, and you'd see that white stuff come out. You could put confectionery sugar in there, too, and sift it. I guess the flour was more lumpy back then that they had to use a sifter. I don't know. But anyway, the sifter. And when you think of crushing wheat, you think of that crushing that takes place. And Satan was hoping that he could crush Peter, and then he would blow away like chaff. He would be destroyed. He wouldn't keep his faith. He wouldn't follow. But Jesus said, I have pleaded in prayer that your faith should not completely fail. It should not completely fail. Yes, plead means an emotional appeal. It's used in court systems, in the public context, where you have a case in court. Have we been in the place of prayer where we're pleading to God. We probably have been there in our lives. And then he goes on to say, so when you have repented and turned to me again, strengthen, build up the faith of your brothers. So he wasn't going to completely fail him totally, but he was going to be brought back, repent, and be going to be stronger. Hallelujah. Thank you, God, for that. That affected my life. I'm sure it has affected yours as you grow. So when you have repented, turn to me again and build up the faith of your brothers. Jesus assured Peter that his faith would falter, but would not be destroyed. Wow. And Simon said, Lord, I'm ready to go to jail with you. I'm ready to die with you. Anybody have to eat their words ever? Sometimes we open mouth before we put the brain in gear. And then what do we have to do thereafter? Because if you didn't put brain in gear, we end up having to do 200 words more or do something else to correct why the situation that was going on. Yes, but it says he would be renewed and become a powerful leader. Then Jesus predicts Judas's betrayal that in 22:22, and then he must die. It's part of God's plan. Betraying and denying, one is as bad as the other, but we see that two men had different fates because one believed and repented and one did not. Jesus said, Peter, let me tell you something. Between now and tomorrow morning, when the rooster crows, you will deny me three times, declaring that you didn't even know me. You never knew me. How long did the ministry of Jesus, was that 3 years from the time Peter, I'm not sure what the time frame was that Peter started with Jesus, but he was with him all that time. How about you and I? In our living, are we denying? Jesus tells how to prepare for those days ahead. Then he told them, pray God that you will not be overcome by temptation. Pray that you will not be overcome by temptation. You and I need to be aware of that each and every day of our lives, because Satan is out there trying to destroy, trying to get us to falter along the way. Yes, we see that he tells him. Then Jesus, we see, goes and agonizes in the garden east of Jerusalem. You can identify with that? Being in Jerusalem, looking over to the Mount of Olives, the olive groves over there where that took place, east of Jerusalem. Luke recorded, his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. Luke is the only one that has it recorded that way. And we know that Jesus came back and they were asleep. But Jesus is betrayed and then arrested. Judas is ahead of the group, leading them as they go along the way. And he walked over and he kissed him. The kiss on the cheek was a friendly greeting, but this kiss wasn't a friendly greeting. It was a point of identification. It was a point of identification, as if all the people that were with that band that was hunting Jesus down didn't know that that was Jesus. But Judas betrayed the master with a kiss. Jesus said, Judas, how can you do this? Betray the Son of Man. We know it was the signal that was going to take place. In the book of John, we learn Peter was the one who was a sword operator. At that point, they only had two swords with them. And there's a scripture tells them about preparing for the journey and stuff. But he had two, He had two swords, and I think he was a pretty good swordsman if he just cut a guy's ear off. I mean, think about it. And it was the right ear also, just in case you wanted to know. We got that detail.
The right ear.
Jesus said, don't resist anymore. Jesus touched a place where the ear had been and restored it. Think about that picture. They're coming out here to get Jesus. And an ear's cut off. And then Jesus just heals it. I think maybe that soldier was probably ready to step over on the other side after he had his ear put back on again. Jesus touched a place and restored it. Yes, Jesus is our restorer, the restorer of our lives, the restorer of this COVID virus in this body that needs to come out. He's my healer. He heals hearts, bodies, souls, and minds. Jesus addresses the people that were coming to get him, the chief priests, the captains, and the temple guards, and religious leaders. You come with a sword and clubs, even at night. I'm in the temple during the daytime. I was there, and you wouldn't come and get me then. Now you come out and come after me like a robber. But this is your moment. This is your time. Satan has the power at this time. Satan has the power. We know that Peter's experience in the next hours would change his life, because they seized Jesus, took him away, and Peter follows after. And we have this situation starting where Peter denies knowing him. What's going through the minds of these disciples at this time? But we're focusing more here on Peter this morning. The soldiers there lit a fire in the courtyard. They stood around for warmth, sat around for warmth, and Peter joined in. And then the servant girl notices him and began staring. Anybody here ever stare at somebody? I know what it's like. I grew up with a father who had a limp. You know how my father limped when he walked? You should have saw it. We had children that would follow behind him sometimes, and after a while they'd start walking like that because they saw he was limping. How about people who have one arm, like our daughter Deanna? People would look, little children, when she was real little yet, they would get down and look up, and there's no arm there. And that didn't go down too good. But you know what? We had those times when she would also stare at people. We understood. We all do that. We all do that. Now, sometimes we get, what did we say about staring holes through people? This servant girl noticed and said, staring. Finally, she said, this man was with Jesus. Peter says, woman, I don't know the man. With words, he denied it. Someone else looked at him and said, you must be one of them. No, sir, I am not. An hour later, someone else flatly stated, I know this fellow is one of Jesus' disciples. For both are from Galilee, or you're both from Lancaster County, or you're from Berks County, the way you talk, or Lebanon County. People identify you by your talk. Some people, I can't get away without being noticed by my voice. Some people can identify my voice no matter what. So, yes, we're identified in so many different ways. And here, then Peter says, I don't know what you're talking about. He said with words, and the rooster crowed, and Jesus looked. The rooster crowed, and Jesus looked. That look was enough for Peter to remember what Jesus had predicted. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. There are some of you as parents, all you have to do is give a look to some child and they'll straighten up. Do you remember getting the look maybe as children? Yeah, the look. Peter had three stages of denial here. First, he acted confused and he tried to divert attention from himself by changing the subject. Can we do that? I can do that. I've been there, done that. Secondly, he vehemently denied Jesus the second time. And thirdly, he denied Jesus with an oath. As a believer who denies Christ, it often begins by doing so subtly and pretending not to know the answer. Lastly, he denied with an oath and with cursing. Swearing he does not know, not mean, he was not swearing that it meant foul language, but it was swearing like in a court of law. Peter was swearing that he did not know Jesus, and he was really invoking a curse on himself with these words that were really untrue. In effect, he was saying, "May God strike me dead if I'm lying." Or, how about, did you ever hear anybody say this? "I'll swear on a stack of Bibles that this is true." Or, "This is God's truth." What are you saying? When you talk to me at times, you're not always telling me the truth. You have to use all those words to back it up. Well, and you know all the other sayings that go along with that, but now comes a time for grace for the guilty. Forgiveness. Forgiveness. Grace for the guilty. Peter was said, told in Matthew 16:7, "Tell his disciples and Peter." This was after he went out and wept bitterly. This was after Easter, the time, the over 500 times that Jesus showed himself to the people. "Then the Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon." Peter at the trial of Jesus had denied his Lord. And Jesus looked at Peter and Peter went and wept bitterly. He was remorseful. He was remorseful what he had done. How many know about a look from a parent, a reaction to a look? Sometimes we wept in not denying the look. Jesus sent word by the angels at the tomb, "Tell his disciples and Peter." Later the same day, personally, Jesus appeared to Peter. And then they were fishing. It was time to go fishing. So they said, "Let's get in the boat and go fishing." So they were by the Sea of Galilee, and we have a restoration taking place. These guys were out fishing on the boat, catching no fish. And somebody on the shore says, "Do you catch any fish, guys?" And then he says, "Hey, put your net on the other side of the boat." How many of you have been in a pond, at Haldeman's Pond? If a boat's here, the whole water's all underneath it, right? Anyway, they obeyed. They went and put their nets on the other side of the boat. And you know what? The fish were there. They jumped in those nets. And there was plenty of fish, 153 of them. And the net didn't tear. I like that. They put that information in there. The net didn't tear because otherwise you would think the net probably would have tore. The third time was after the resurrection. So after breakfast, the fire is there. They're having a cookout on the beach. And Jesus said, "Simon, son of Jonah, John, do you love me more than these others?" "Yes," Peter said, "you know I am your friend." then feed my sheep. Feed my lambs. Oh, that. then, next, we have this experience is the experience that would clear up the denial that Peter did of Jesus. This was the confession time. This was the time of forgiveness, accepting Peter. Accepting Peter. Jesus questions again. Simon, son of John, do you really love me? Yes, Lord, Peter said, you know I am your friend. Then take care of my sheep. Simon, son of John, are you my friend? Peter was grieved at the way Jesus asked the question the third time. Do you love me? The phileo, the brotherly love, type of love that he was responding to. Lord, you know my heart. There's nothing you don't know about me, Lord. Do we ever think of that? Do we ever think about that, that there's nothing the Lord don't know about us? Sometimes we think that we want to dedicate something to the Lord, and we want this little room in our hearts to not be accessed to God and stuff. But he knows what's there anyway. Lord, you know my heart. You know I am. Jesus said, then feed my sheep. Then he goes on in verse 18. He says, when you were young, you were able to do as you liked. And whenever you wanted to go, you went. But when you're old, you will stretch out your hands and others will direct you where you don't want to go. This is telling how Peter was going to die, the crucifixion that he was going to die, and how that Peter would not be hung the same way that Jesus did. He was hung upside down. He wasn't worthy to be that. Jesus said this to know what kind of death he would die for the glory of God. Then Jesus said, follow me. Any of you remember the words that Jesus said to Peter at the beginning of his calling him? Come, follow me. And now he's saying, follow me. Jesus doesn't settle for a quick, superficial answer here. He wanted to get to the heart of the matter and the motive. He wanted to get to the true feelings of Peter. That's why he confronted him in that way. How would you, if Jesus asked you, do you love me? Do you really love me? Jesus would say, are you my friend? You know, this whole thing was going to prepare Peter. It was preparing Peter to preach to the crowd at Pentecost. It was going to strengthen his faith for him to be the leader that he was going to be called to be. In the Old Testament, prophecies had been entirely fulfilled in Acts 2, 14 to 21. Because Jesus is Messiah and because the risen Christ could change their lives. Think about it. God, through his Son Jesus, is still in the life-changing business. He can change your life and my life. Has changed my life. Has changed your life. But as we go on in life, are there times where God wants to work on changing more of us? Where is your life right now? Is there a need that needs to be changed? Is there something that needs to be laid aside so that God can use us more fully in where he wants to lead us for his honor and his glory and for his kingdom's good? So, looking at Peter's life, there are many things that we can take from it as we live our life this week and as we come in contact with people that need to know about Jesus. How can we portray that? Let's pray. Thank you, Father God, for the book of Luke. Thank you, Father, for the way in which the presentation of the gospel is brought forth. Thank you for the uniqueness of writer Luke. I also thank you, Father, for Peter, for his life, for his witness, for his testimony. And Lord, I thank you for the realities that we see in Peter's life that happened in my life. Help me, Lord, to be open, to be strengthened by your love, by your care, and by your keeping, so that God of grace and God of glory would draw us and cultivate us so that we might bring forth the good news of Jesus Christ as we leave this place today and tell the good news to those we come in contact with. Amen. Go and go in peace.